Friday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. Alex Strofe with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn with you in the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Lots to get into. Dame time arrives in the playoffs for the Milwaukee Bucks last night, dropping 35 in the first half and leading the Milwaukee Bucks over the Indiana Pacers in game one of their Eastern Conference playoff series. We got the NFL draft coming up in 3 days. Brian Gutekunst speaking with the media this morning. What do we take away from that? What do we make of Goody? What do we think they'll do in the first round? We will get into all of that in this week's only edition of Mr. Relevant. If you missed the news Friday, I'm out of here. I'm heading to Milwaukee. I'm moving to Milwaukee, joining our team at ESPN Milwaukee. Mr. Irrelevant will continue as is beginning next Monday. I'll just be physically in Milwaukee. Tiny Hands will still produce the show, still be a part of the show. He will be in Madison, though, so we're going to take Wednesday, Friday off as we prepare for the NFL draft. I have the opportunity and the honor to anchor ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ's coverage of the first round of the NFL draft Thursday night, live from the Q Club in Waukesha. I'll be joined by a ton of people throughout, including Steve the Homer True, is going to join me for a majority of the show. So looking forward to that on Thursday. If you want real live reaction, centralized Packers coverage during the first round of the NFL draft coming up on Thursday, join us for ESPN Wisconsin's draft night. Hunter, Tiny Hands, he came into work on a Sunday yesterday. On a Sunday! To build out some of our draft coverage coming up for you on Thursday. So first off, props to you. Second off, how are we looking? This is going to look pretty sweet on Thursday?
I think it's going to look pretty good. Things are going well. There was only one aspect of it that did not want to cooperate with me, and I said a lot of not good words here in this studio.
Okay.
But otherwise, super excited about it. I think it's going to look great, so you can watch along on both of these YouTube channels as you'll be covering the draft, and you have an insane number of guests.
We do. It's going to be a blast, though. I mean, we've got two, well, will be Packers Hall of Famers. Mark Tauscher, Brian Bulaga going to join us. We've got two Hall of Fame beat writers covering the Packers. Rob Domofsky, Jason Wilde going to join us. Our resident Bears fan, Jim Rutledge, will join us. Ben Brust, Mark Chmura, actually a third Packers Hall of Famer. Mark Chmura will be with us in the 6 o'clock hour. So we're going to have a ton of localized coverage on the NFL draft Thursday night. That will air in place of our show Wednesday and Friday here on Mr. Irrelevant. So we are going to take a look at the draft in depth here coming up in a couple of minutes. But I want to start with the Milwaukee Bucks, who get a big win yesterday over the Indiana Pacers. It was all about Damian Lillard in the first half. 35 points in the first half. He lights it on fire. Bucks win 109-94 without Giannis in game number one. Now, there's so many things to be excited about, and I tweeted this yesterday, but I'm going to be irrational for a couple of minutes or a couple of days maybe, and then I'll be rational. I'm not ready to be rational yet. I will be about the second half, but the first half was just absolutely bananas. It was an unconscious Dame Lillard. It was a man that was just out of control in the best way possible. And as Damian Lillard yelled on the court after he hit a big three, "This is why y'all brought me here," said Damian Lillard. And we have the video of that, so I'd like to play it on the YouTube stream and the Facebook stream. Damian Lillard, so here's the real-time version, and then we will follow it up with the slow-motion version if you really want to get into your lip-reading era. So here's Damian Lillard yesterday after he hit a big three. "This is why y'all brought me here," he says, but watch it slow now. "Y'all brought me here. This is what y'all brought me here for." So Damian Lillard said to the crowd at Fiserv Forum yesterday. Freaking electric, dude. "This is why y'all brought me here." Talk about the confidence you need when your top dog is out. Talk about the leadership you need. Talk about the scoring ability you need when you're without a multiple-time MVP and an NBA champion in Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the best players in the world. He's not there for game one. But that's why you make a move for a guy like Damian Lillard, who can come out and be an offensive threat single-handedly. We talked with Eric Name of The Athletic last week. Let's not forget, one of the Bucks starters literally poses zero threat offensively. He scored 2 points yesterday. That's Pat Beverly. Pat Beverly opted to skip season-ending wrist surgery so he could continue to be a pest defensively in these NBA playoffs. And he can still provide a little bit of some facilitating ability offensively, but he's not a scoring threat. And you're without your best scoring threat in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And what does Damian Lillard do? He says, hey, Milwaukee, hey, 414, hey, 262, climb on my back, I got you. And that's exactly what he did yesterday. An incredible effort by Damian Lillard. And some of the shots he's making. And then you have a Pat Connaughton and 1 3-pointer in the first half. The energy in that building, absolutely electric. You can hear bits and pieces of it coming through the TV screen yesterday. That is why you trade for a generational point guard like Damian Lillard. And the chit-chat we've had the last 2 months about how he's kind of a defensive liability, yeah, that matters a little bit. But when it comes to the playoffs and the players who need to shine when the lights are the brightest, Damian Lillard checks that box yesterday and leads the Bucks to a big Game 1 win over the Indiana Pacers. Huge win for the Pacers. Now, I do believe this series isn't going to be a sweep. I do believe this series will probably go 6, maybe 5 if Milwaukee can continue to play this way. But that's just so unlikely, right? I mean, the way in which the Bucks won yesterday was not only Damian Lillard being a man completely unconscious in the first half. It also required the Pacers to miss, I think it was 31 three-point shots. They couldn't hit anything from outside. Yeah, 8 of 38 from outside. So 30 three-point shots they missed yesterday. That's probably not going to last throughout the entirety of this series. But you take it when you can get it. You make a hostile atmosphere at Fiserv Forum. You allow a guy like Damian Lillard, who you go out and trade for right before the season begins this offseason. And he proves exactly why he is viewed as one of the top 75 players in NBA history. All 35 of his points come in the first half. It's a Bucks franchise record in the postseason, and it leads to a 15-point win for the Bucks. Hunter, how fired up are we about Damian Lillard and the Bucks?
I'm so excited about it. I know I checked out there towards the end of the season, but all it took was one playoff game. I'm back in.
Yeah, I knew you
and
would be.
I feel like they recreated Drew Holiday from the championship run in the aggregate and even improved this team by adding Pat Bev, who I think is proving he's almost as good as Drew Holiday defensively.
Yeah, he's up there.
He held Tyrese Halliburton to 9 points, and I know he's not the same since the hamstring injury. I get that. But you don't do that on accident. Like, you have to really be locked in on an NBA player, a star in the NBA, to hold them to only 9 points in a playoff game. So this team,
yeah,
I'm feeling a lot better about them after what I saw, because they turned it on for the first playoff game. Hopefully they can do it for games 2, 3, 4, and probably 5 and 6. And being the oldest team in the playoffs and in the NBA, that scares me. But I'm just going to try and ride the wave and be along for the ride as long as it goes.
So I've asked you this throughout the course of the season, because I think you're a good pulse of where Bucks fans are at. And I always measure it myself. First round of the playoffs, 1-0 lead after yesterday's 15-point win over the Pacers. Damian Lillard does Dame time stuff, man. Absolute electric first half. Panic meter has been kind of roller coastery for you the last couple months, Hunter. I always ask the panic meter. You just referenced it. The last time I asked you that question, you said, I'm checked out. I'm done with basketball. I'm on to baseball season. Clearly, you're back into basketball season. What is the panic meter for Hunter Vaughn after game one? Bucks lead the series 1-0.
It's at a 2, and honestly, it's only at a 2 because of what I said about their age, and I don't want to see this series go long, because I have a feeling from the way Boston looked in their first round game, they may end up getting the brooms out against Miami, because they're just so incredibly good, and if they're well rested, this is going to be tough down the road in the playoffs for the Bucks. So that worries me with the Bucks' age, so I'm putting it at a 2. If
that's
this was
lowest, it's bad.
But if this was the Bucks a couple of, like, even just a year or two ago,
yeah,
my panic meter's at a 0, not because I'm checked out, because I'm just like, oh, this is going to be fine. Everything's fine.
So the thing,
I just worry about the legs. And like Chris Middleton, he played a lot of minutes in a game that they were kind of had put away into the fourth quarter. And he's had injury issues.
Yeah, but he had a really nice day. And he hit some big shots. 23 for Chris as well. 23 and 10 for Chris. A double-double for him. 15 and 11 for Bobby, who starts in place of the injured Giannis. So overall, I mean, this was a really good group effort. Dame carried the load, obviously, in the first half. But second half, things got a little weird there at the end of the third quarter. Pacers go on a 9-0 run. They pull it a little bit closer, but then the Bucks pull away ultimately in the fourth quarter. Only scored 14 in the third quarter, but able to keep their distance and win game one. Now, the things outside of the obvious, hey, Dame probably not going to score 35 points and a half in game two and ongoing throughout the series. And the Pacers probably won't miss 33s in the rest of the games of this series. The big question still remains, when will we see Giannis Antetokounmpo? And I think as a Bucks fan, yes, you're feeling a little bit better about the Bucks' chances after what you saw in game one, but you prefer if Giannis is out there and Bobby, the sixth man of the year now finalist, is your sixth man and not starting. I'm comfortable without Giannis in game two tomorrow. I feel like the Bucks, A, we know they're a much better team at Fiserv than on the road, but then you get another 3 days, hopefully, for Giannis. I hope we see him in this series, because that would be incredibly concerning, obviously, if we don't see him at all. But I feel good about the Bucks' chances tomorrow if there's no Giannis, and I don't really expect there to be Giannis tomorrow. But Friday is the date I think a lot of us have circled. I mean, it's been over, I think, 3 weeks now, three or 2.5 weeks come Friday since the injury to Giannis. Could he make a return? And maybe it's a minutes restriction return. But for a guy like Giannis, who's a complete freak of nature and a total machine, I would imagine there's no such thing as a minutes restriction in the postseason for him. So I'm intrigued to see when we see Giannis, but I would imagine Bucks fans are with me. I feel much better about the Bucks' chances in the series now after watching what they were able to do in game one of the series yesterday at Fiserv Forum. Game two tomorrow night. Now, for all of you YouTube TVers like me, NBA TV are blacked out. So it's Bally Sports game tomorrow. So I'll see you at the bar for game number two between the Bucks and the Pacers. But looking forward to it, man. It's going to be great. John Henson agree. How old is this? Something's broken on the ESPN.com website. I'm on the Bucks page on ESPN.com, and it says John Henson agrees to 4-year extension with Bucks. It's the top.
What is this, 2013?
From Mark Stein, April 22nd, 2024, 1:16 p.m. Eastern. They must have accidentally published a really old article on ESPN.com. If you go to ESPN.com and go to the Bucks page, it's the first thing there. I'm not making this up. Very strange. Anyway, Bucks Pacers tomorrow, game two of the Eastern Conference playoff series. Every home team, by the way, wins the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs. Really, some really fun series, some really not so fun series in the first round of games. Right, Timberwolves completely blow the doors off the Suns. Nuggets Lakers was okay, but it was really all Nuggets in that second half. Cavs Magic, meh. Knicks Sixers, like I said, okay. Yesterday was a little bit better. The nightcap was great. Between the Thunder and the Pelicans comes down to the last shot. That was a really fun one. Obviously, right before that, the Bucks game. I'm excited about that as a Bucks fan. Clippers-Mavs was good, and I think that'll be a really good series. But, again, that was kind of like the Bucks game, where first half it just felt like, okay, Clippers are rolling. They're absolutely going to win this game. They had a huge advantage at halftime. Mavericks able to cut into it a little bit, chop into it late, but just not enough. And then the Celtics blow the doors off the Heat in the second half of that one. Shout out to Stevens Point. Native Sam Hauser, double digits for him, big third quarter for him and the Celtics yesterday. So all the home teams winning game one of the series. Series roll on tonight. Three games tonight. Magic, Cavs game two, Sixers, Knicks game two, Lakers, Nuggets game two, all tonight as well. Is what's the most appealing first round series, Hunter? I've been trying to think about this. There's like three that really catch my eye.
Non-Bucks.
Assuming, yeah, okay. Non-Bucks. I mean, Sixers-Knicks is intriguing, but now with Embiid, you just really don't know his status. Obviously, that's what makes it a little tricky. I think Nuggets-Lakers is fun, but it's not the most fun series, I don't think. I mean, Wolves-Suns feels like it should be, but game one of that sucked. And Clippers-Mavs a fun 4-5. So Western Conference is much more elite. Celtics are the only really good team in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see.
Just for my TikTok feed, I mean, I've got to go Magic Cavs. Because when the Magic win, then it's the they post their song Orlando Magic,
dude. How
Orlando
old is,
Magic?
How old is that song?
I have no idea,
but
I love it.
Quite the resurgence. It reminds me of that Green and Growing song for the Bucks, where it just makes this random like resurgence here in 2024. But anyway, all right, game two. We'll talk more about the playoffs next Monday. When we return, this series could be close to over at that point if the Bucks continue to play like they did yesterday, with Game 4 being Sunday in Indiana. Game 5 will be next Tuesday if the Pacers are able to win one. So we'll cover a little bit more ground on this and the NFL draft next Monday when we return. I do want to talk NFL draft, though, as that comes up Thursday, Friday, Saturday from Detroit, Michigan, the host of this year's draft site. Packers currently hanging on to 11 picks in the NFL draft. Goody saying earlier today, Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, meeting with the media earlier today, said he would like to make that more like 13 or 14, which I thought was fascinating, right? Like, I figured he'd go the other way. He'd like to make that maybe more, I don't know, 8 or 9. He says, no, I want more picks. So that's something to keep an eye on. So I really got in the weeds on Goody. Really got in the weeds. I went year by year, top 30 visits. He averages about 3 draft picks from his top 30 visits. Thought that was interesting. Goody has moved, I think, 3 times.
Hang on.
First, yep.
How does that compare to other GMs?
Well, I didn't get that far in the weeds.
Okay, so you just threw out a useless number we have no context for.
I would imagine every team's a little bit different. It depends on the year, too. So, but Goody,
I think that's a useless number you just threw out there.
He's a late round guy, right? A lot of these teams are using like top 30 drafts. Goody hosted 27 prospects. Only like 3 of them are projected to go in the first 2 days. Several of them undrafted. He hosted the quarterback from UTEP. From
Go Miners.
Texas El Paso. He's not getting drafted. You know, some of these just make absolutely no sense to me, but I kind of love
it. We also thought Sean Clifford wasn't going to get drafted.
That's true, and he did, by the way, host Sean Clifford on a top 30 visit last year. Also Dontavian Wicks. Also Lou Nichols, RIP, no longer on the roster. And who was the third?
He's not dead, though.
Carl Brooks. He's not dead. He might even be on the practice squad. He actually may still be on the Packers. But Lou Nichols was one of them. Didn't make the final cuts last August. But he's not dead. You're right. I don't want to kill off Lou Nichols. Sorry, Lou. So, I think that's an interesting stat. I think some of the movement in the first round, he doesn't do it a ton, but when he does, it typically works, right? Think about Jordan Love, moved up for him. He moved back for Jair Alexander. So I always think it's fascinating. I'm starting to talk myself into this might be a year where they move and snag 2 first-round picks. Because, and I heard Jason Wilde say this, and Wilde's a very knowledgeable man on this, covered the Packers for a very long time, from Wilde and Tausch weekdays 9 to noon here on the ESPN Wisconsin YouTube channels. He doesn't think they're going to use all 5 of their picks in the first 2 days. They have 2 second and 2 third-round picks. He doesn't think they're going to use all 5. I would be intrigued to see if they flipped one of those second-round picks and got an additional first, or maybe a second and a third for an additional first. Because if you look at some of those top 30 visits, it's very clear, and it's something we all already knew, but where the biggest needs are. And that would, of course, be offensive line. They hosted 6 offensive line candidates. You look at linebacker, they hosted 4 linebacker candidates and 2 edge rushers, so 6 there, essentially, to 2, and now with their defensive change, I guess that's more D-end as an edge rusher, but 4 linebackers, and they hosted 6 safeties, 4 of which are projected to go undrafted, the other 2 sixth or seventh round projections, right? So this is why I think it's interesting that Goody is using all these top 30 visits. All these safeties are late round guys, and this is not a good safety class by any means, but some of these names, specifically a guy like Akeem Dent, who had a solid RAS score, if I'm not mistaken, from Florida State, he could be like a 6th round flyer who may end up cracking the starting lineup. We saw it a good amount last year with Anthony Johnson Jr. out of Iowa State. So I'm fascinated by some of these. Are you pulling up his RAS score? 865. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good RAS score.
Yeah, it is.
It's over 8.5. 147 out of 1,082 free safeties all time. That's since 1987. It's pretty good. Pretty good. See, this is what I'm doing here, Hunter. I'm trying to overthink everything because it's draft week, and this is the year or the week to get completely irrational when it comes to the Packers. So Akeem Dent, by the way, he is an official prediction of mine. I think he will be a Green Bay Packer come the end of the weekend.
I'm just curious, and Ron, I saw Ron in the ESPN Milwaukee chat ask this question as well. Shouldn't you be like looking for an apartment, like figuring out your living situation? Like, you're literally moving across the state in 2 days, and you're spending time looking at the RAS score for a seventh round free safety prospect? Come on, priorities.
Dude, I got
no one would have cared if you didn't know anything about Akeem Dent. No one would have known.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point. It's a fair point. But also, I pride myself in knowing my stuff, right? Like, I don't want to be one of these guys who has a responsibility to be on the air and not know what the hell they're talking about. I'm not a fan of just BSing my way through things. I watch the games because I'm an actual fan of these teams. When it comes to the draft, I have the awesome opportunity to anchor our NFL draft coverage on Thursday statewide. I need to know what the hell I'm talking about. I got to brush up on Amarius Mims' background a little bit. I got to brush up on Kool-Aid McKinstry and how he got the nickname of Kool-Aid. And by the way, I'm saying I have to brush up. I don't know the answer to that yet, how he got the nickname Kool-Aid. But Kool-Aid McKinstry is a guy that fascinates me, and he is a guy they use the top 30 visit on. So is Amarius Mims. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to draft him, but when we look at past years, how does Goody operate in the first round? This is ultimately the point I'm trying to get to, Hunter, is how does Goody operate in the first round, and how will he draft come Thursday? Will he move around? Think about previous people that he's hosted on top 30 visits that they drafted in the first round. Jordan Love was hosted in 2020, virtually, I think, prior to the NFL draft. He was the first-round pick. Josiah DeGuara was also hosted that draft and was a third-round pick. In 2022, Devontae Wyatt, Romeo Doubs, Samori Toure, all hosted on top 30 visits. So I find it interesting of how many of these translate, especially when it's some of those late-round guys, like Samori Toure, and like Sean Clifford, and like Carl Brooks, and like Dontavian Wicks a year ago. So I try not to overthink it in the first round, but I do think it's going to be one of those two. I think it's either going to be Kool-Aid McKinstry or Amarius Mims. Because also with Goody, in his short-ish tenure as the GM and the only medium amount of drafts he's had now, is how does he typically approach the draft? And there's always a different answer, right? But if you think back to 2019, he attacked edge in the NFL draft. In free agency. And then he went there in the draft. When you look at, I'm trying to think of the year Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker were drafted. I think they made like a very small splash at D-line in free agency, and they doubled down in the draft. So I'm thinking it's either going to be now with the signing of Andre Dillard and the signing of Xavier McKinney, could they go defensive back or offensive line in the first round? My answer is yes. I think those are the two positions they'll probably target. So the three guys you have on the screen actually right now, Hunter, are perfect. Amarius Mims from Georgia, the offensive tackle, 6'8", huge. Kool-Aid McKinstry, who, by the way, Joseph coming through for me. I love when people do my research for me. He could have made this up, but I'm going to read it verbatim. McKinstry was given the nickname Kool-Aid by his grandma when he was born. She thought his smile resembled the Kool-Aid man. At birth, my grandma gave me that name. Said I came out smiling, end quote. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Oh, yeah! Kool-Aid McKinstry, future Green Bay Packer. Cooper DeJean, I think, is an interesting one. I think that's the overhyped one. I think it's the least likely of the three.
Because he's going to be gone already? Or you think he's going to fall because he's overhyped?
No, I don't think him to Green Bay makes a ton of sense. He's the best safety in the draft, but he's probably a better corner, and he's viewed as like the third best corner in the draft behind Kool-Aid.
Okay, and Valentine and Ballantyne aren't exactly great options on the other side of Jair.
Valentine seems like he might be all right. I don't want him as a starter. I'm with you. Obviously, your hope is Eric Stokes can get back to some form of his old self, the first round expectation that comes with him this year with all of his hamstring issues. But I think it's one of those two guys. I think they're going SEC, they're going big school, which, by the way, outside of Jordan Love and maybe Jair from Louisville, it seems like that's typically Goody's route in the first round, too, is big school, SEC school. He loves his Georgia players. He's drafted three of them in the first round. Could be a fourth with Amarius Mims. Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, not a bad option either. I like DeJean. I don't know if I'd love him at 25. And do you think they'd have to move up to get DeJean? Because it seems like people, he's one of those guys, and this is kind of, we talked about this a little bit on Friday. Like, there's kind of a range between 11 and 30 where it's just a total blender of options. Right, the top five seems pretty solidified, quarterback heavy. Then you'll have some of those receivers in the top 10. You'll have Bowers likely in the top 10. You probably have Joe Alt go in the first top 10. But after that, it just feels like it's a total blender. I've seen Amarius Mims mocked at 13. I've seen him mocked in the second round. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I've seen as high as 13. But also I've seen him at 31. It just feels like nobody really knows. And DeJean feels like a guy that's really shot up the draft board, but maybe he's coming back down to earth week of. So he's one that kind of confuses me. He might be there at 25, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's not there. But he, you could make the case, if you want to go Goody pattern route, he went Georgia back-to-back years, right? Eric Stokes and then Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. He did pick Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa last year. He could go Iowa if he drafts Cooper DeJean.
I mean, that'd make Brian Bulaga, very happy, sure. I think Cooper's going to go early. I think he's going to be... He's just one of those guys that seems like there's a GM and a head coach out there that absolutely love him, and they're being completely silent about it, and they're going to be ecstatic when he's there at, like, not having the draft order memorized, like 17 or something.
Yeah.
And they're just going to be like, okay, that's it. Perfect. We're going to be able to get him, and we're just going to take him. So I think he goes early, but... Between him or Kool-Aid, because of everything Cooper DeJean can do, from special teams, play safety, play corner, you can just move him all over the place. I don't see how a defensive coordinator could not want him on the field.
Yeah, as long as, and you know, they didn't use one of their top 30 on him. And I see friend of show on YouTube saying, yeah, that's like priority free agency. I understand that, right? But I don't know that every GM approaches it the same way. I know you're not going to use all top 30s on first-round picks, right? You're going to spread them across the board, a lot of them for UDFAs. But it seems like Goody does a great job, at least over the course of the last 4 years, of guys he brings in. And that's, what is that? It's a job interview. It's you're checking out the character. You're making sure they check the boxes you want out of a Green Bay Packer. I understand that. And then come free agency, they're already familiar with you. You've already made your pitch of why they would be a good fit in Green Bay. It's an easy phone call to make. But some of those are first-round picks, right? Devontae Wyatt was a character check. Jordan Love, is he our guy? If he's there where we can trade up and get him in 2020, are we going to draft him? Romeo Doubs, Dontayvion Wicks, Carl Brooks. And those are middle-round guys I just rattled off. It seems like Goody just does his homework in a pretty obvious way. Not all the time, but some of the time when it comes to these. But he didn't on Cooper DeJean. And I know they attended his pro day, and I know he was at the combine. So they've definitely done their homework on DeJean. And if on Twitter, at ESPN Madison, we do have the poll in the field. Which of these would you want the Packers to draft in the first round? Kool-Aid McKinstry, Amarius Mims, Cooper DeJean, or Graham Barton out of Duke? DeJean has 56% of the vote. DeJean is running away as the favorite. Amarius Mims with 29% right behind him. And then Graham Barton with 11%. Kool-Aid only getting 4% of the vote on there, which shocks me. So I think he's the guy I want most out of those four names.
I feel like Kool-Aid is just but he feels like he's going to fit as a nickel corner. And I just don't know if that's what Green Bay needs to do.
No, they have Keshawn Nixon. Yeah. And so it's like a terrible, terribly hard position to play in the NFL, this nickel corner, debatably the hardest position outside of quarterback in the NFL. Keshawn Nixon's fine. He's not great. He's also not bad. I think it's a position that really gets overshadowed or really looked into because it's a really hard position to play. You're covering tight ends, you're covering slot receivers, you're covering all sorts of different players, and it's a position that's incredibly hard to be great at. There's only a few of them that are great in the league, and all of them get locked up long term. Keyshawn, you feel good about. You feel better about his kick return and punt return responsibilities, but I don't think you need to replace him with Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid's not a guy you would position flip either. You'd keep him at corner. Where DeJean, I think you could probably play him, as you pointed out, in multiple different spots. So I'm going to go official prediction. I want you to make yours as well. I'm going to say Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle from Georgia, is the Packers' first-round pick on Thursday. Hunter, what say you?
The problem is, and I've talked about this before, if Graham Barton is there,
I love him,
then the Packers are going to take him. I just don't think he gets past Dallas.
So I don't think so either.
So that's my issue, is that I think he's going to go one of those two spots. I'm going to go Cooper DeJean. I know I said I think somebody's going to take him up early. I just, if he's there, they're taking him.
You think that he's a, I think I asked you this before, and I don't know if you answered. Do you think he's a guy they would move for? So let's say he's there at 21.
I think so. Hang on. I've got the draft order. I just want to see here.
I just threw out a random number. I know.
I'm just
Miami.
So working down. So Dallas is at 24. The Vikings are at 23. Philly 22. Miami 21.
So you know they're not trading to 23. They wouldn't trade with Minnesota, at least in the first round. They might later in the draft.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they do with the Eagles either.
Just because of the week one thing or what?
Well, I think it's the week one thing. And like I said a few weeks back, I think they're going to be jockeying for playoff position.
Yeah.
So I just don't see them trading within the NFC.
Miami or Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Miami at 21, Pittsburgh at 20. I think if he's sitting there, I think they would move up to do that. Problem is, you're probably giving up one of those 2 second round picks.
You're high in DeGene.
And this is part of the draft coverage, you know, pulling some highlights and that stuff for whoever the Packers take, which looks like could be a number of guys. And one of the first plays that I saw on his tape was a special teams where he was a gunner at Iowa, and he got through three blocks and made the hit as the returner was catching the ball. That's insane. Like, he is so good at special teams alone that I'm like, he's kind of worth it off of that. And obviously, like, it'd be stupid to just take a special teams guy in the first round unless you're Al Davis.
Yeah.
But he's the type of guy where if he's already doing that in one of his first highlight plays is special teams, he's just going to do incredible things. I really like him. I just hope he's not high blanking on the name. The other defensive back from Iowa that the Packers took. And he was hot garbage.
Josh Jackson.
I remember it was Josh. I couldn't remember the last name.
I didn't need to bring that up.
Sorry.
It's all right.
I'm hoping he's not, because I would feel bad.
Just want to get to some of the comments. Kyle on TikTok says he thinks it'll be Graham Barton if he's there at 25. He thinks Kool-Aid McKinstry drops to the second round, and something to keep in mind is the Packers do have 2 second round picks, pick number 9, I believe, or 10 in the second round, 41, whatever that would be. Is my math right there? So pick 8, excuse me, in the second round at pick 41. If they could get Amarius Mims and Kool-Aid McKinstry with their first two picks, Hunter, I would be so insufferable. You got 2 starters.
Yeah, this draft, I think there's going to be a number of teams that are able to do that.
It feels so top-heavy, though. And I mean, you could probably make this case every draft, but Goody even pointed out, he's like, because Jason Wilde asked him a great question today about, you know, keeping the success going in the draft, because last year, obviously, an incredibly successful draft for Brian Gutekunst, tons of starters and playmakers and guys that popped up late in the year. To help the Packers win a playoff game last year. How do you keep that going? And Goody made the quick point of not every draft is the same. Not every draft is as deep or as talent-ridden. He didn't really give his evaluation on this year because it's too early to tell, obviously. But it seems like Goody wants to make some picks this year. He thinks he can elevate the team. And for the most part, Goody's been a pretty good drafter. You know, he's got some big misses for sure. I think of a name like Amari Rodgers as a big miss. Eric Stokes, unfortunately, seems like that will likely end up being a miss. There's just a ton of names throughout the years that some are good, some are not so good. Josh Jackson, of course, as you bring up, back in his first draft in 2018, not so great. Oren Burks, Jamon Moore, the first four rounds of that draft outside of Jair, all misses. 2019, Jay Sternberger in the third round, Darnell Savage in the first round. I don't know that he ever lived up to first-round potential. 2020, Josiah DeGuara was the third-round pick. A.J. Dillon was the second-round pick. Both of those kind of meh. 2021, Amari Rodgers, Royce Newman, Eric Stokes, all in that draft, not great. 2022 was really solid. Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Sean Ryan, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, all in the first four rounds. That worked out all right. Sean Ryan, likely you're starting right guard this year. And Christian Watson, as long as he can stay at least remotely healthy, give me 13 games of Christian Watson, you're going to really like what the Packers offense looks like. And the next year, I think it's still TBD on Lucas Van Ness, but you feel good about the tight ends and the receiver, Jaden Reed, there early on in that draft. So overall, he's been on a little bit of a heater. And I think this year it continues. But maybe I'm too optimistic.
Yeah, and I feel like this year, this could be kind of a boring year when it comes to the picks that Goody does make.
Yeah, I don't know how many sexy positions he's going to touch.
It's going to be gross positions. It's going to be linemen. It's going to be maybe like a nickel corner type of thing. Like, it's just going to be weird positions where you're like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then if his history is showing off of last year, if he hits on a couple of these guys, then all of a sudden in 2 years, you're like, oh, that was actually a really good draft. And I think about, for my Cowboys, like, Zach Martin was not a sexy pick. I was not thrilled about that, but considering Johnny Manziel was available. But they got probably the second greatest guard to ever play for the Cowboys with that pick. So, like, it works out down the road. It's just in the moment, you're like, oh, okay, cool. They got a guard. Get to see a big guy beat up on other big guys, and I'm not going to pay attention to him most Sundays.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And, you know, later rounds, and we talked about this a little bit on Friday, Hunter, I would be okay if the Packers swung at a wide receiver at the end of day two, early day three. I'd be okay with that. I don't know that they will, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings. Running back, same thing, but I don't know how excited you're going to get about a running back.
Well, if they were to get Isaac Guerrero in the third round.
But am I excited as a Badgers fan? Or am I excited as a Packers fan?
Well, you should be excited as a Packer fan, then.
Because of his RAS score?
Well, there's that.
Second best ever.
With his RAS score, but then the fact that, like, you actually have a change of pace back in that backfield, because you've got two of the same running back right now with Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon. So then you actually have somebody who's going to come in from the third round and get some legitimate playing time at a position that is already good. Or really good, I would say. Mm-hmm. And he could help make that position room great by being able to do something a little bit differently. So, like, I think you can still get those fun, exciting picks out of this draft. They're just not, they're not coming Thursday night. Unless they shock the world and they somehow move up and they, for some weird reason, go after Brock Bowers. Like, it's just not happening. I know, but he was the first, like, position threat player.
So, here's the thing. Joseph, on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream, I think it's a very good point, and it's one I'm scared of, because it's going to be difficult. And I remember when they did this the year they passed on T.J. Watt, which I think was 2017 draft. Thursday, Goody might pick once, he might pick twice, or he might not pick at all. Eager to see Goody draft trade gymnastics on day one and day two, and I think we might be in for that. They might have two first round picks. They might have none. And that, I don't think it would shock me either way. I think Goody knows he's on a little bit of a heater the last couple of years in the NFL draft. He's looking to continue that because the championship window for the Green Bay Packers is open. That was proven last year. And you can't necessarily anticipate progression, especially at a position like quarterback. But you feel really good about the progression you saw last year from Jordan Love and hope that does continue into this year. You assume guys like Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks are ready to take that sophomore jump. And same with Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. You hope Christian Watson can be healthy and play the entire season. Romeo Doubs continues to be Mr. Reliable offensively. Defensively, you hope a guy like Lucas Van Ness and Devontae Wyatt, former first-round picks, can continue to develop. Whoever you draft in the first round this year, if Brian Gutekunst isn't watching Mr. Irrelevant on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream and sees Joseph's comment, floating the idea that maybe he doesn't pick at all. And if he does pick, right, you hope that it's at safety or that it's at linebacker or that it's at offensive tackle, a position of need that would see significant improvement immediately. We'll all see together. I'm very excited for Thursday. We're with you. We're calling it ESPN Wisconsin's Draft Night. Our coverage will begin from the Q Club in Waukesha beginning at 6 p.m. I'll be joined throughout the night by Mark Chmura, Ben Brust for the 6 o'clock hour. Homer, Steve the Homer True, will join me from 7 to the end of our broadcast on Thursday. We'll be joined by guests throughout, including Brian Balaga-Awa, Cooper DeJean, shout out. We'll be joined by Mark Tauscher. We'll be joined by Jason Weldy. We'll be joined by Rob Domofsky. We'll be joined by Jim Rutledge. We'll be joined by John Anderson. We'll be joined by Gary Ellerson. Just a ton of opinions and analysis and coverage of the first round of the NFL draft, streaming right here on the ESPN Wisconsin YouTube channels.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Let's go through Joseph's hypothetical here and say that Goody trades out of the first round, but he doesn't do it until, you know, he goes from 25, trades out of that down to 28, 29, and then trades out again to early into the second round. Who's going to be more upset, you or Homer?
It depends how tired I am.
I have a feeling you're going to be tired. And with the day that we have planned for tomorrow,
yeah,
you're going to be tired.
The next couple of days are a lot, right? I started ESPN Milwaukee Wednesday. We're going to Door County to see our friends at Door County Distillery tomorrow. I'm excited to have them back with us beginning May 1. And then Thursday, obviously, it's a long one, right? I mean, NFL draft coverage starts at 6 o'clock. We're on the air until at least 10 o'clock, if not later. And if you, in the sense of your hypothetical, if we are trading out or trading back, like I'm part of the team. If the Packers trade from 25 to 29 and they trade out at 29, I'd probably be a little irritated. Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. Although I think Homer would be more irritated.
Yeah, that was kind of my guess. I would probably be the most irritated just because there's not, I'm not trying to make this about me, but there was a lot of behind the scenes. I know. I did put in a lot of behind the scenes work for this draft coverage stuff. So then to not be able to like get the pick and like I'm pulling highlight tape of like 8-9 different guys just to be ready for it. Like I'm going to be a little annoyed.
It's fair. It's fair. All right. Time now for What's Drift Learning. You learn something new every day. I learned something new today. Something I'm very fired up about. Hunter, I sent it to you. So I'm not fired up about it. The roast of Tom Brady coming live to Netflix on Cinco de Mayo, Sunday, May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. It will be unfiltered, unedited, live on Netflix. Now, the last time I tried to watch something on Netflix live, it didn't work. That would be, I think, the Love is Blind finale from a few years ago.
Why? Why? I have so much. We don't have time to get into it.
But this will be live. Obviously, there's a million obvious roasts for Tom Brady between deflated balls and divorces and not knowing when to retire. I think it's going to be absolutely hilarious on Sunday, May 5th. So I'm really looking forward to the roast of Tom Brady. I learned Netflix is coming out with that. It's the first time ever they've hosted a live one as well. All of those are usually in post-production, like the Justin Bieber one and some of those great ones that Comedy Central produced throughout the years. Very excited for the roast of Tom Brady. Now, I am a converted Tom Brady fan. I wasn't, or a converted Tom Brady hater, I guess I should say. I was very anti-Tom Brady for a long time. But when he moved to Tampa in 2020, he became unbelievably likable, in my opinion. And now in retirement, I really like Tom Brady still. I like his show with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald. So I'm a Tom Brady guy. I think the roast of Tom Brady is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to watching that.
See, I'm glad that you're a Tom Brady guy. I was always just like, this is so fun to watch. Considering like he was in the AFC, I never had to worry about him beating the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. So I was like, this is just fun to watch. I enjoy seeing this insane level of greatness. I'm going to tune into this. We know the Mannings are going to be involved, right? Like
you would hope so.
They have
at least Peyton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Eli too.
Yeah. I think that would be amazing to have both of them. I have a feeling we'll probably get JJ Watt if I had to guess for like guys that he played against. Gronk will be there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think only players, though, right?
No, but I'm just thinking within...
And artists.
You're going to get Joe Buck.
You're probably not going to get Joe Buck.
I bet you Joe Buck. Yeah. He did, like, three of the guy's Super Bowls.
Okay.
He interviewed him a number of times. Joe Buck will be on there. I'm calling my shot. Joe Buck's on there.
All right, I like your shot. I didn't even think about the potential guest. Gronk seems like an obvious one. I'm with you on that. Peyton Manning seems like an obvious one. I don't know. We'll all find out together on May 5th. Looking forward to that. All right, so as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, as we mentioned last Friday, if you're just joining us on the live side, if you're listening to the audio side, you already heard my spiel on this. I'm moving to Milwaukee beginning Wednesday to join our team at ESPN Milwaukee. Continuing Mr. Irrelevant. It will continue the same as is outside of me physically being in another city. But we're not back with you until Monday. So this Thursday, catch us on ESPN Wisconsin's Draft Night. That will be live coverage throughout the night of round one of the NFL Draft. Packers-centric, going to be an awesome video stream, going to be an awesome radio program as well, 620 WTMJ, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 AM in Beaver Dam. We'll be with you all night. Friday, Saturday, we're doing some extra draft stuff on YouTube, ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. You can catch a ton of my reaction then. I'll be with you Friday night a little bit for second and third round action. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday morning, Jesse Nelson and I are with you across ESPN Wisconsin as well, the two stations over my left shoulder, breaking down the first 2 days of the NFL draft. And then we're back with you Monday to react to all things NFL draft and maybe a clean sweep of the Indiana Pacers. Who knows?
Maybe.
I'm not ruling it out. Not ruling it out, especially if Giannis comes back Friday. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. We'll be back with you next Monday. In the meantime, make sure you give the video a thumbs up on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison. If you haven't already, subscribe to Mr. Irrelevant wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just search Mr. Irrelevant. It'll be the first result. That pops up in your feed. We're rebranding a little bit. We're moving around. We're back with you a week from today. Mr. Irrelevant from Milwaukee and Madison. We'll be 70 miles apart, Hunter.
Don't remind me.
You've never been so happy. Oh, no, you're sad about it.
Yeah, I'm sad about it. I mean, I started like 6 months before you did it as a part-timer, and then like you've always been here at ESPN Madison with me, and our desks are right next to each other, or you're directly behind me, and I spend more time turned around than I do facing my own computer. It's going to be different, and I'm just trying to ignore fall when it's football season and we're doing Prep Mania together and not together. So it's going to be...
We'll be all right.
I know. It'll be fine. I'm excited. Again, you asked. I'm going to be a little sad about it, but I'm happy for you.
Well, that's a depressing way to end the only show of the week.
I'm happy for you, okay? I am excited. I am happy. You asked the question. I answered it. I'm sorry that the answer wasn't the way you wanted it.
Amarius Mims from Georgia. You heard it here first. We're back with you in a week. We'll talk to you then. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. Peace.